public outcry for people who want a better planet. And there are powers that be that let the people panic. Look at the Gulf of Japan, could they have really planned it? Heading for the iceberg like the Titanic.
Atlantic mystery, Atlantis wife of history. The truth about the pyramids and ancient Mayan prophecy.
Space Odyssey, look into the anomalies, and you will find suppression of free energy technology. A false democracy born out of a monopoly. Sacred knowledge robbery, like the towers they topple.
Oh boy, I am sitting here just scrubbing on my potatoes. Oh, I wonder if I'll be that 100th monkey or if I know it's out there. And I have this sense that it's awful close. It's just, I feel it in the air. I feel it out there. And in there, there's something happening on this planet. And to really get a grasp of it, of what's really going on, we got to keep exploring, and we got to keep learning, and we got to keep looking, and we got to keep seeking and finding. And guests like we're having on tonight are the kind of people that are doing that seeking and that finding. And oh man, I'm just so excited. Welcome to the 100th Monkey Radio with Tom and Ramon. There we go. Yeah, I knew that was coming. So, yeah, we got, there's so much going on, Ramon. I mean, the energy in the air of consciousness is so vivid for me. I mean, I can reach out and just, I can feel it. I can feel the stuff moving and growing. And I just feel like we're right on the edge of some really big breakthroughs as far as not only just the consciousness of humanity, but on the technology end of it, and the people figuring things out on how we move forward from here, how we take the next step into what would be a more balanced society, more sustainable society. I mean, I think things are really getting ready to
rock
here. Yeah.
You know, I've been really giving it a lot of thought to the whole thing. You know, on the internet, you're hearing a lot of people talking about that last year we jumped timelines to a better one. And me and you both definitely felt something. But, you know, I always wonder, how can you prove that? I think that's something you can only really prove to yourself.
Yeah, you know, the whole timeline thing, and timeline one or A and B or whatever you want, however they want to label them, you know, that's still in my I don't know bag, Ramon. I mean, I felt things change and I felt things shift, and I've had some very strange time anomalies happen, but as far as, you know, these major timelines that all these guys are talking about, you know, that's just still a big question mark. You know, I just don't know. I'm existing in this linear timeline. My consciousness is running in this linear timeline that started in 1961 and is still going on and going strong today. So my timeline is what my consciousness has experienced up to this point. As far as this, all these other things, you know, I just don't know. Big question mark.
Yeah, I mean, not to go too deep into this, but I myself had weird time anomalies. But anyway, don't forget, we still have those little monkeys running around. They're driving Tom mad, so make sure you pick one up off his hands.
Yeah.
They're the 8 gig sticks, and we have all of starting from November 2010 all the way up to December 26 of 2011. And in there we include 5 videos that we recorded, interviews, 5 video interviews, and the Book of Aquarius. So make sure you pick one up. And thank you for those who have picked it up.
Yeah.
Also, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Vimeo. And now Vimeo.
Yeah, now Vimeo. Yeah, there's links for all that on the site. So, you know, there's a couple of stories we put in the news thing there. There's an real interesting article about Stonehenge that some guys are theorizing that it was inspired by sound, and that's an interesting, pretty interesting theory. You might want to read through that. There's some stuff on tidal power, using the tidal forces to generate power. This has been out there for quite a while. This idea has been out there quite a while, and boy, I mean, this would be such a simple resource for us to tap into that would, I mean, especially all the coastal communities could use this so easily. And, you know, let's get away from that big corporate oil.
Especially big places.
And go into the big corporate tidal power companies. No, I'm just kidding.
Especially
There's other answers out there to this power thing. And
speaking of power.
Yeah, I like this
guy. Someone we have is working on the power. Jason Rubelli is an independent researcher, experimenter, philosopher, and visionary. His focus is the work of Walter Russell, Professor John Searle Technology, and suppressed unconventional research ranging from cosmic energy, alternative medicine, and the science of spirituality, and much more. Let's welcome back for the second time, Jason Rubelli.
Yay!
Come on down!
Hey, what's up, guys? Thank you very much for having me.
Hey,
sorry,
Jason.
I couldn't get the Price is Right music working. Unless Bob Barker might sue me.
So
make
Jason,
our own theme music.
So, Jason, let's start out tonight. I was poking around on YouTube when I got home from work today, and I saw that you had another video up on creating a fractal wire, and we talked about a couple minutes about this offline. I just think this is cool that you're jumping into this kind of experimentation. Would you explain to us what you're doing there?
Yeah, it's a fractal wiring concept, and what a fractal is a repeating pattern. So if you have a big circle, if you were to zoom in on the edge of that circle, you would see that that is made up of a bunch of little circles. And if you were to zoom in on any of those, you'd see that those too are made up of a bunch of little circles. And it's a repeating pattern in forever, like a Mandelbrot fractal. And the point is collective unity, a repeating pattern where things work together, like a synergistic effect. You can have a bunch of things working individually, trying to achieve a goal, yeah, like a bunch of monkeys. Or you can have the collective of monkeys working together to achieve an even bigger goal. That's called synergy. And that's the same principle with these fractal wires, is that I'm thinking that if we arrange devices in specific ways according to geometry and have them work as a collective on different scales, that it might contribute to the benefit of more energy or an easier flow of energy or something cool. So we were talking about the idea of monkeys working together and the 100th monkey. This is the 100th monkey radio. And in order for things to work together to create that 100th monkey, you know, we're not waiting for the 100th monkey, an individual. The 99 monkeys that already exist have to work together in unison to create a bigger version of the some of the parts. And so all of us working together is that 100th monkey. All of the wires working together is a bigger version, creating synergy and creating more flow. And that's the theory behind the fractal wires or a fractal machine, is that you are building something with a lot of components, identical, but they're just arranged in a specific way to work together. And that's what the video I posted today is, just a theory on winding these tiny coils together and then bundling them up and then bundling a bunch of those packets together. So I have 7 tiny wires in one bundle, and we have seven bundles together, and then you want to have seven of those together, so it keeps on growing. And the more scales that you have collective order will give you more benefit. And if you can do that in really, really small scales, now you're really talking.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
It really seems like you're mimicking nature, which I think is one of the biggest flaws we have, is that we don't mimic nature with our technology.
Exactly.
At least not publicly.
No, it's what we do is the complete opposite of how nature operates. And then people use machines and study science under the guise as if it's operating under nature's laws. We have a misconceived understanding of nature and its laws. It's the opposite of everything we think. So our machines disintegrate things and heat things up, but nature collects things together and cools things down naturally. And there's a process of give and take, of heat and cool and exchange, but all man knows is the outward processes. So when you have things working together as a whole on small scales, things change and rules can sort of be bent, and you have to have new ways to explain the dynamics of things that work together as a collective, because the same rules do not apply.
Now, I was really amazed by looking at some of your videos especially with the rodent coil. The way you made it is a little different from the traditional, or at least I've never seen anybody else. What do you call it, Jason, again?
It's kind of hard to visualize, but imagine a wicker basket where you have a woven pattern. So instead of wrapping a traditional coil around a ring, so let's say you have a ring like a toroid or a donut, and you take that wire and you just wrap it around the ring. That's one way to do it. Or you can wrap it loop to loop, like tracing an infinity sign. Or you can do it in a geometric fashion. There's all sorts of ways to wrap coils. But most people do it one wire at a time. I did it two wires at a time in the opposite directions. So I sort of wove these copper wires together and to make an interference pattern, just to see something different, but try something new and extreme. So I did it. I built a 2-foot coil, and that's the biggest rodent coil that that I know of. It has like 3,000 feet of wire on it, so it's considerably big, but not big enough.
So what kind of effects are you getting out of that coil?
Well, I was getting a resonant frequency around the Schumann resonance, which means I put another coil in the center of it, and I was testing out different electric pulses to see the reactions between the two coils. And the resonant frequency of my big coil is around 6 to 8 hertz. And I have a video of testing that out on my YouTube channel. But so far, I haven't really been able to test it that much because I don't have the appropriate power source to do that. I had to bring it over to a friend's house and test it out over there. But the effects that I'm hoping, the bigger that you build it, the lower these frequencies get, and the more benefit that it contributes to things, because it's the opposite end of the spectrum that we need to be focusing on. Because we all know the high spectrum, we've mastered that as a people, the yang, but we need to start focusing on the yin, the other side, which is the big power that lasts for a long time.
So that would also be described as we've been dealing mostly with the explosive. So the yin would be also considered like the implosive power.
Correct. Right? Yeah. So there's many ways to look at this. There's, you know, explosion and implosion. There's outward push and inward push. Not outward push and pull. Pull is a misconceived notion. So there's different types of push going on. Implosion is literally an inward push. It's not a pull from the center. So these technologies, when you're utilizing these frequencies, it's creating an inward vortex rather than an outward explosion. It's still pushing. All the forces are still pushing, but it's twisting in and pushing in, making a vortex. That's the difference between these free energy technologies and all the technologies we use today. We all use high frequencies, making things heat up, gain weight, lose energy, slow down, boring stuff. We need to be using the other side, so things speed up, gain energy, lose weight, start to glow, start to fly, powerhouses, heal things, make plants grow, visit space, and all that fun stuff. And that's a reality. We just need to start utilizing it. It's the 21st century. It's 2012. We need to start having the mentality like it. So when we utilize these technologies and people start experimenting for themselves and looking into people like Professor John Searle or Ed Lead Skullman's Coral Castle and try to explain how are these things made, totally different processes. So I encourage people to, you know, look into the alternatives that aren't mentioned, and you have to seek those out. It's very difficult, and I've compiled a lot of information for people to look into over the course of a few years. So much fantastic information about crystals, like you were talking about before, is the collective unity of nature. That's what nature does. It's crystals. Crystals are like prisms. Prisms for waves, for energy, for light. All sorts of things. And it's when you align things on small scales all together, it forms a bigger crystal, a crystalline structure. That's the point, is to try to form crystals. When you work together in unison, you're acting as a liquid crystal. When all things are moving together, you're creating some different power. And that's the point. That's the point of John Searle's magnetization process. That's the point of all of these other technologies, is you're creating inward order, implosion, but it's creating just a different type of push. It's an inward push, and we have a lot of things to go over and misconceptions about that, because we have terms like over unity and stuff like that, which is just misconceptions. You can't get more out than in, but you can create order on small scales so that all energy pushes to what you want to power. And the more fractal geometry you have, the more you can utilize this type of potential.
So this is also, there's such a parallel to this, the way let's say, sacred geometry or sacred science type application to technology, and the spiritual path that people are on, the spiritual growth that we're on. Society's terms for everything are all outside of self. You point to heaven, everybody points up. You know,
it's outside of self. Now you're touching on the good stuff.
Everything's outside of self instead of the reality of things is it's all within, because to reach everything that we perceive as outside of ourselves, we must go within.
Correct, because all things originate from within. Things, you know, smoke comes before fire. The small comes before big. The low comes before high. Things grow upward from low to high. Things get louder. They don't start loud and then get softer. You have to have a progression upward. And that's what we have to do, is look inward to the source of things. We're all taught that, like you said, heaven is upward, or heaven is something outside yourself. No. All these sources that we're trying to seek are in, closer to zero. Zero is what people would consider God. Zero is the emptiness which all things try to flood to and infinitely try to fill, that void of nothingness, emptiness. And it's the closer that you try to get to zero, the more power that you reap, the brighter that you get. But we're all taught to get higher away from zero. the higher that you raise your vibration. No, you want to raise your awareness and lower your vibration. Because vibration is a physical thing, but awareness is a non-physical thing. So we want to raise awareness, lower vibration, which is a big difference of what everybody else teaches.
It is very, very, very different than what majority of all all these new age or whatever we want to call them. I don't know if we really have a good term that accurately portrays what's going on in the world today, but it's all about raising your vibration.
Everybody teaches that is to get farther away from zero, get as far away as you possibly can. Try to chase that so-called speed of light outside of yourself. No, zero is light. Stillness is light. We're all taught that light is some wave or some particle traveling 186,000 miles a second, and that you can never catch that. Oh, but wait, CERN just said that there is a particle called a neutrino that travels just slightly faster than light, so now their speed limit is increased, and we're trying to get as far away from zero as they possibly can. That's the opposite of what we're trying to do. You're trying to get back to the source. You're trying to get to the light. And from the work that I've been studying of a man named Walter Russell, who was good friends with Nikola Tesla, and if everybody admires these guys so much, why don't we listen to them? Well, these guys were saying that light doesn't travel at all, and it's a misconception. Waves travel. Light does not travel. Waves expose light that's already there. And so people are chasing waves, thinking that the light itself is a wave. So they're chasing these moving waves faster and faster. There's always going to be a faster wave. But light itself is stillness. And those fast-moving waves just expose the stillness that's there. It's a weird concept to try to visualize. This is stumped man for thousands of years, is to try to be still, be centered, be balanced, and just slow down and try to reach the light by slowing down. That's why Tibetan monks chant so low and so slow in unison.
With that being said, because I know people confuse lower frequency with becoming more density. So heavier, more dense.
That's the complete opposite of the truth. Complete opposite of nature. Because low waves rattle the parts making up a whole. High waves rattle the object as a whole. So we want to be resonating with atoms, getting the low side of reality, the low side of existence, the other side of the coin, trying to infinitely approach zero, not infinitely run away. There's two sides. There's the yin, the inward, and the yang, the outward, the explosion and the implosion. And we're all just taught about zero being where we're starting from, and we're getting as far away from zero. No, you can never reach zero. We don't start at zero. We are already in a state of motion. We're already in a state of action, always. And people misjudge nature by giving it a zero point. No, light is the only zero, and you can never reach it. You can only try infinitely.
So I wonder what these guys are talking about and what they're experiencing when they talk about raising their vibration and going into different states of consciousness or higher.
They're talking about raising their awareness. But raising your awareness means that you slow down. And slowing down means you lower your vibration. So when you lower your vibration and you're in a calm state, in a state of peace, a state of ease, non-motion, that's when you get the enlightenment. That's when all the power comes to you, or rather, you allow it to push to you, because you're creating a state of emptiness, and all things will just push to you when you create that emptiness within yourself. But in order to do that, you have to get closer to zero, closer to the emptiness, which is nothing. It's nothing.
It's funny how you're talking about what some people would put as two different subjects.
Well, it's going
let me finish.
physical into the spiritual or whatever you call it.
Yeah, so that's what I mean, that he's talking about two different subjects, but really only speaking of one subject, which is nature. Nature includes everything, but we've been taught to split everything into different little hairs. And so, just to clear everybody up, he is talking about science, but he's also talking about spirituality all at the same time.
Correct. It's the science of spirituality. The more physical sciences are away from zero. The more spiritual sciences are trying to approach zero. And both are an infinite science. And one can contradict the other. But you have to put the two together, the yin and the yang, because they both flow together. And that's the key, is to acknowledge that there is another side. So there's a whole different perspective to look at this stuff, and it's about order and chaos. The more we look out into the space, into the cosmos, and the celestial beings, all these planets, we see order, perfect stillness. Everything is in perfect order. But when we look under a microscope, they see things moving about really quickly. The farther down you zoom, the faster things are moving and the more chaotic the motion. So when you look at a crystal, it's like perfect. You can see through it. It's in order. All of the atoms are in order. The more that you zoom in, the more you'd see order. But if you keep zooming in, you'd eventually get to motion and chaos. So nature only provides us with certain amounts of order to begin with. And all math is just dealing with the order that we are naturally provided with. We're not, math and equations don't really address the notion of conscious man engineering more order on smaller scales, creating order out of chaos on smaller scales, creating geometry or cymatics or art. You're creating art out of chaotic states, creating art out of atoms using harmony. And when you do that, the laws sort of bend because you're creating new states that don't really exist in nature. Order exists in nature, but not on those lower scales. When you use technologies like John Searle's magnetization process, that's when you start to look towards the inner sciences, and it affects the way you think. It affects the way your body behaves, and your DNA, and your skin, and all of these things, because negative ions are released. The lower waves are producing these energies that are very beneficial and do the exact opposite of everything that our machines do today.
Yeah. With that being said, the frequency on which our electricity normally runs on, what is it? I forgot the frequency number.
It's like 60 hertz.
60 hertz, yeah, that's 50 hertz overseas.
So I hear a lot of people say that it's like very dirty electricity, but if you run it on a lower hertz, it's much cleaner. What is your point of view of that?
Well, literally, 60 hertz is like a fart. I mean, it's when you lean up against a dryer, and it's vibrating. That's what 60 hertz is. It's literally, it's like a fart. And that's not too pretty. It's not very harmonic. It's not tuned either. So the key is to use beautiful harmonics. You can use higher waves, but they have to be harmonic waves. And I think the key is to mix, you know, a combination of waves, so that you're canceling out the effects of a high wave by using low ones. And you have to use a combination of the yin and the yang, but all our machines and all our frequencies are just using yang. And it's just a difficult thing to explain without more visuals, and that's why I've tried to put together this information and more videos to help explain what I'm talking about, to see how energy moves. And I put together this series called What a Magnet Is and Why, so that people can understand what energy is, how it moves, what electricity is, what magnets are, and solve the mysteries using different perspectives.
And so what is your YouTube channel, so people can go and check that out? We'll have links here on the show page and everything, but might as well put that out there.
Yeah, for the listeners, and thank you for considering the information and listening, guys. My YouTube channel is The Real Verbs, THEREALVERBZ. So The Real Verbs, and I have lots of videos explaining what magnets are, showing examples. I put together a paper with lots of visual examples so that you could see in detail all the examples of nature that we're talking about. And what a magnet is any material that atoms are aligned, acting like a wind tunnel. So when the atoms of some material are all in chaos and they're all pointing in different directions, it won't allow for the energy to blow through that material evenly. But when you realign the atoms making up the material to all face in a particular direction, then the energy can flow through it with less resistance because it's not bumping around. And that's pretty much all nature is about, is creating order so that you're allowing the energy to flow through. Can't create or destroy energy, but you can allow for that energy to flow through more efficiently.
Right.
Infinitely. There's no limit. All known math, E equals MC squared, the biggest misconception of science, E equals MC squared says that mass and energy convert, and that mass is equal to energy. No. Mass is mass. Waves are waves. Waves can disintegrate those magnets making up mass, should call atoms magnets. So magnets could come together or magnets can break apart. Just because the magnets break apart doesn't mean they convert it into energy. No, it just means you can't see those little magnets anymore. So when you arrange those tiny magnets making up matter, you can arrange them in little wind tunnels, and then you can arrange the pieces making up those atoms and the parts of the parts and the parts of the parts of the parts. There's no limit to how much order you can create. And the more that you create a fractal or a geometry on small scales will allow for energy to flow through. And that will be misconceived as you getting over unity, or misconceived as you getting more out than in. No, you're using a little bit of energy to open a gate atomically, and then that energy starts to flood your system. And that atomic energy is closer to zero and what people would consider the power of God. It's unbelievably powerful. It's much smaller than Planck's length, much more powerful and faster than Einstein's so-called speed of light. All these things are only dealing with our scale. There's things much smaller than Planck's length. There's things much faster than 186,000 miles a second. But all our outward science will allow is for those particular limits.
Right.
So when you create more order, you raise the limits. And that's the point, is it's about creating conscious order, which changes the laws. Then you can calculate the rate at which you use the energy as normal, but your starting point is different, and you're going to get more energy than you normally would because you're allowing it to be there.
Right. So are you familiar with Peter Stevens?
No, I'm not.
He's another garage inventor. He's in Australia. Created some pretty amazing stuff. He's done a thing with magnets and water, running water through magnetic fields to clean the water.
Very good.
And he's found that doing this, he'd put north to north to create a field. But he's saying that when he's doing that, he's actually creating two more poles actually in the magnetic field. So instead of having just two poles, he's coming up with four poles then.
Yeah, he's correct. That's the same principle as Walter Russell. When you have a magnet, we only see the north and south. There's that ring around the magnet that people call a magnetic line of force. That line is going all the way around the magnet. So right. It's not really a line, it's a ring. So that magnetic ring of force is called a blotch wall. And within that little ring are two more poles that are like chasing each other really, really fast. But we only see a ring. So when you're putting the like poles of a magnet together, they are trying to push away from each other rather than attempt to push through each other. So when we see magnets coming together, they are attempting to push through each other. When you're trying to put magnets that want to repel, they're trying to push away. Just push away and push through. When you put the magnets together that want to repel, it's like you're putting two hurricanes together, and it's creating a bigger hurricane right in the center, a bigger disc. And within that disc is going to have two more poles that spin. He's correct.
Hmm.
The trick, I think, what Dan Winter was saying is to have some sort of bond in between those two magnets that want to repel. So if you have some sort of like stainless steel or some sort of like non-magnetized metal in between the two magnets that want to repel, those two magnets will stick to that piece of metal. Even though the magnets want to repel from each other, that attraction to the metal will be slightly more than the repulsion of the magnets. So that's called phase conjugation, where you're creating a third wave out of two other waves.
So when I want to get a little bit into the speakers, because I was watching a video about the speakers. When you have your Roden coil and then you put the magnet in the middle, so it's not touching the coil at all, what did you find as far as the sound quality compared to the normal way a speaker's made?
Well, it's like having a subwoofer outside of the subwoofer box. So you would have to have some sort of enclosure around the Roden coil donut to help trap the sound. So when you have the magnet in the middle, you want to have some sort of cup or dish to help project the sound from the other side. So the ideal speaker box for a Roden coil would probably look like a little UFO, with a dish around it, and then two half spheres on the top and bottom, and then you just have a hole in one of the half spheres to help project the sound outward. So you have this magnet in the center of the coil, and then you can just make little speakers, or you can have them in as a headset speaker. It reduces the amount of space that you have to have, because you don't have a magnet sticking out the back of the speaker. The magnet is located in the center, so it's less space. You can get sound on either side of the speaker. So there's a lot of different benefits to this stuff. It's really, really interesting. One of the things I was liking to play around with was trying to spin magnets in the center of the coil. I know other people that have been able to spin magnets hundreds of thousands of RPM. There's a guy named Russ Grease on YouTube, RWG Research. And he got a magnet spinning over 300,000 RPM on film. So it's really, significant.
From the Roden coil.
Yeah, pulsing frequencies through the coil and then inducing the magnet to spin in the center over 300,000 RPM.
Wow.
So that's like not even tuned. You can really get those things spinning.
When you said that the speaker would kind of look like a little UFO, I almost felt like that's probably exactly what they probably have, something similar like that in their ships, because if everything is frequency and sounds.
Yeah, it's the best practical shape to use for this technology, because all of the energy is projected outward in a ring, and the center of that ring is safe to be in while this energy surrounds you. And if you just build a ship around that, that houses all the parts of the machine and all the energy itself, you can calculate how far that energy projects and just build the rim of the craft out to that diameter, and you're pretty much, that's the best shape to use. It's practical. So it's like copying nature. Use a ring and vortexes. When you do that and you make collectives of that, you're going to be you're doing some serious stuff.
So have you got any something that just popped into my head? You know, I like to give hands-on suggestions to people to do things for themselves, to prove things to themselves, just to whet their appetite, to spark their curiosity. Like with consciousness, I did the rice experiment here. Dr. Emoto's rice experiment.
Oh yeah.
So I like to put out little examples like that for people so they can understand things better and maybe, you know, spark some curiosity within them or find some latent talent that they didn't know they had. Have you got any simple experiments that people can do at home that with magnets that will prove any principle or show any principle to them that they can that would be easy to set up for someone?
Absolutely. The best experiment that I could think of, the most interesting visually, is called cymatics. C-Y-M-A-T-I-C-S, cymatics. And it's the study of waves, visual sound. And all you need is a speaker. You turn the speaker on its back so it's facing up, and you have to play, you know, one or two tones. Just a beep, some perfect frequency. And if you can regulate that frequency, you can even do it from your phone. You have if you have a phone connected to an amplifier and the amp connected to the speaker, you could just have a software program or an app on your phone, have like some frequency generator, and then plug it into the speaker so whatever you play on your phone comes out of the speaker. All right, easy. We all have that. Now turn the speaker on its back and play a particular frequency, but put a plate on the speaker, and then put some sand on the plate, and then play the tones through the speaker, and you'll see the sand or the salt or the flour, whatever you have on that plate, start to vibrate on the plate according to this frequency you're playing. And if you hit the right frequencies, you're going to make beautiful geometries. It's just going to form patterns out of the dust, and you can see that different patterns form different shapes. Every frequency has a shape. I personally think that's one of the coolest experiments out there, that you can make shapes. You can even sing through it through a microphone and make different shapes with your voice, like visual karaoke. And when you start doing that, you realize that sound effects matter. And sound affects the shape of things, literally.
I was gonna say, you know, what's amazing that's so old, yet the average person doesn't know about this, and you would think that's something they would teach like second, third grade science.
Yeah, that's pretty. It's absolutely fascinating. Once you see a pattern just form in the sand instantly right in front of you from sound, and then make another beautiful geometric shape and just start switching through the frequencies. I have videos again on this on YouTube. I put together a collection of other videos so people can see them all together. It's just absolutely fascinating. And that's the point of magnetization, is you're creating order out of atoms. So if the sand on the plate makes beautiful shapes from frequencies, then you can apply that on the atomic level, and if you play certain frequencies, you're going to actually make geometric shapes out of the atoms, making up an object, and it will open up certain channels in that mass. So you have a unique crystal. You can literally reorder mass and restructure mass through harmonics. So and that's the whole point of everything.
That makes me think of the sun, how everybody's talking how it's changing, and we know that all the spheres and the Milky Way and everything has a sound frequency coming out of it that they've recorded. Was it very low hertz?
Yeah, that would be extremely ridiculously low. It's like hitting a giant gong. It's like imagine hitting a gong the size of your house. It would take, you know, you could hit that gong really, really hard. You probably wouldn't hear much for about a minute. And then after that, you would hear the sound really vibrate, then work its way up the scales and start to get really loud and then vibrate your whole house. So that's what's happening, is that there's a really low waves emanating out from the center of the galaxy or from the center of a star, and then it's traveling out and it's ordering things. Every piece of matter that the wave touches restructures it, and either restructures it in a manner of order or chaos. If it restructures it in a way of order, you'll be able to see that particle because it will glow. More order, more shine, more ionization, more disorder, more darkness.
So with that being said, do you think that the sun is changing us now physically?
Absolutely. And at the beginning of your show, you were talking about the sun and time jumps and different stuff like that, and time anomalies. Yeah, there's different things that happen with the sun. And recently I've been correlating a lot of the good ideas and the realizations I've had with coronal mass ejections. So every time there's a solar flare that hits the Earth, a really big one, seem to have some really profound ideas. Same day. And it affects some people differently. I was talking about this with James Gilliland on Friday. He said some people get really angst and angry during the times of solar flares, and other people get really joyous and happy and get unbelievable ideas. Because the information is already everywhere. All mass is already in existence. All light is already in existence. All waves are already in existence, and all consciousness is already there. But when you reorder what's already there, that's when you start to create the illusion that you are creating or destroying mass, or you're doing different things. So the sun is like a harmonic wave generator, and it's sending out these harmonic waves and literally restructuring things. Some days are better than others. Some days are more ordered than others. And on those ordered days, we're going to see a lot of activity because the sun is allowing for more activity within it, more order, more flow, less resistance. And when it creates that in you, we're going to see more activity on Earth. You can correlate different, you know, time frames on Earth with the activity of the sun. It's been done for ages.
That's very true. How are we doing with time, Tom?
Oh, I think we got about 10 minutes left here.
Cool.
Okay, cool. So, a person, for example, when you get these solar flares and you get different reactions from different people, you think that has to do with the, I don't even know how to word it, with the frequency that they might be putting out themselves, like mentally, their thought forms?
Yeah, exactly, because we can only reap the energy that we will allow to channel through us. And channeling through you literally means that you are restructuring the atoms of your body, opening up little wind tunnels and allowing the energy to funnel or channel through you. And information is already everywhere. When you reorder yourself, you allow things to flow through you, and all of a sudden, I just got an idea. No, you allowed for that information to flow through you because it's already there. And then all of a sudden, you just created that idea. No, you just gained access to it. So the sun and all these things are creating order, but people have a certain amount of order or disorder within themselves, And I think the sun will enhance whatever qualities you you already have.
So,
but it will help. It'll help regardless.
Is that why some people get the same idea at the same time, and the patents are put out at the same time by people that don't know each other and have no connection?
Correct. That's what I think is going on. Is that these same people around the world have the same type of mentality anyway? Even though they're different people, they have the same type of order within themselves. They might practice the particular routine, eat at the same type of day. What I ultimately think it is those people are more on the schedule of the sun.
Right.
They get up in the sun. They go to sleep, or, you know, they're on the sun's schedule, not their schedule or their work's schedule or a calendar schedule. They're on the sun's time. When you get on the sun's time, you reap the sun's power. And you get ideas like a light bulb over your head, meaning you're getting the ideas of the sun because you are allowing it to. And you reap the power of whatever you follow. And if you don't follow anything, then you're probably not going to reap much power. If you follow somebody else, you're going to reap whatever they have to offer you. If you follow the sun, you're going to get all the life and all energy will flow to you. Because that's what all life flows to. What do plants point to all day? The sun. So yeah. Whatever you're doing all day, if you can work your whole schedule around facing the sun, even if you're indoors, if you're working on your car, make sure you're just oriented facing the sun while you're indoors working on your car. If you could have a house that shifts on its axis throughout the day so that you're always facing the sun, you're going to have a lot more benefit, because all these ancient societies were living and forming their whole lives around the sun, getting the benefit of it. So we're all taught to get on the Vatican's calendar, get away from zero. Don't look down that pit of darkness. It's all hell down there. Don't even bother listening to those low chants. It's all demonic witchcraft.
Yeah.
It turns out it's creating beauty and cymatics within the atomic structure, and there's more to it than they would have us believe.
Right. You know, the more and more I learn, and more I understand, the more sense all the solar deity worship, sun worshiping in our history makes more sense. I understand why they picked the sun, you know, as the great god in the sky to worship.
Yeah, I mean, all the planets are following behind the sun, so why shouldn't you?
Exactly.
I mean, are you better and bigger than the planets themselves? I think not. So why not follow the rules of nature and just abide by the laws of the sun, raw, whatever you want to call it, and work your schedule around that. And I think you're going to find that life will just work out when you start to abide by certain laws of nature. Plants don't have to really feed themselves. Do you know of one plant that turns the opposite direction of the sun? No, but lots of humans do, because we're better than the sun, right? So when you start to, you know, live your life according to nature and just follow those simple truths, then you're going to understand the simple truths more. The more farther away you get from zero, the farther away you turn from the sun, the more dark your mentality is probably going to be, and it's just not good for you or people around you.
Exactly.
Let me ask you this question, being that you speak in the sun. Do you ever sun gaze?
Yes, in the morning. For the past, 2 years, I just happen to get up when the sun's coming up, and I haven't really fought it anymore. I just get up right when the sun's coming up, and I try to watch the sunrise. Some days are better than others. Work a lot at night, and sometimes I go to sleep too late. And wake up too late, but more often than not, I do watch the sun as it comes up, and right as it goes down. If you keep some water in a glass jar, distilled water with some minerals in it or something pure, something really clean, keep it in a glass jar and have it hit the light of the sun right when it comes up in the morning. and then have it hit the light of the sun when it goes down. Do that for about, I don't know, a few days, and then drink the water or put it on a cut or do something. You can do the same thing with the moon. Put it out with like the four days before full moon and 4 days after or something, so you're getting the full light of the moon. Just have it shine on the water through the glass bottle. Have it charge with that energy every day at the same time, every night at the same time. And it's going to establish a wave, a very, very powerful low wave. It takes time, like hitting that giant gong. You have to have faith that the sound will come. You have to have faith that the energy will work its way up the scales. It takes time because the energy is affecting the atoms making up the water. And if you just drink it too quickly, it's not going to really do anything. It's going to be regular water. You have to wait. You have to wait for the energy to build up. And you have to establish a routine and work with the water. Establish a relationship with whatever you're working with and be a team with it. And when you do that and you start acting as a team in unison, then you're going to get more energy than you normally would.
Right. Right.
So we're at the top of the hour, I would say.
Yeah, we are. So this first hour has been great. This has definitely given me a
lot to think about.
Another perspective to actually that looking at things with the zero perspective, you know, the slowing down instead of trying to raise that vibration, because, you know, we'll get into this in the second hour. We're running out of time here, but anyways, good show. Thank you, Jason, and thank all the BBS listeners. Brooks is coming up next, so check him out and
join us at www.the100thmonkey.com. if you're not a member, today is a good day to become one.
Absolutely. Yeah, help support this alternative media. Or hopefully we're let's start calling ourselves mainstream, Ramon, because I think we should be mainstream. There you go. So anyways, condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance.
Oh, that's right. The love you deny is the pain you carry.
All right. Okay. Love you guys, and we'll see you in the member section.
That be the let the people panic. Look at the Gulf of Japan, could they have really planned it? Heading for the iceberg like the Titanic. Atlantic mystery, Atlantis white for mystery. The truth about the pyramids and ancient Mayan prophecy. Space Odyssey, look into the anomalies, and you will find suppression of free energy technology. A false democracy born out of a monopoly. Sacred knowledge robbery.